Hey, Northeast Pennsylvania, it's Rob O'Donnell here on WILK News Radio, 103.1 FM, 910, 980 AM, or anywhere on that free Odyssey app. You can get that anywhere you get your favorite apps, your Google Play Store, your Apple App Store. Download the Odyssey app. Look for WILK News Radio, favorite it, and that's it. You're done. Works seamlessly with your CarPlay. And you get us anytime, any place. How's everybody doing on this Monday, June 30th, 2025, 88 degrees, last day of June. Man, that month just flew by. Hope everybody's doing okay. I'm hanging in there. Those of you who follow the show know, you know, we're dealing with some things personally. Actually, the community is, not just me. I'm just one of many actually feeling, you know, the loss of a great dear friend. And we're going to be having a memorial service for him up on Montage Mountain on Wednesday. So I will not be here Wednesday. Thursday, weather permitting, we will be broadcasting live at the Scrantastic Spectacular in downtown Scranton, Courthouse Square. Look for us there. If the weather's too iffy, and again, the weather's been sporty. The weather reports have been sporty down there for the past 2 years I broadcast, and it turned out to be beautiful both times. So that morning we'll make the call. Either way, I'll either be in downtown Scranton live or I will be here in the studio live. But Wednesday, we will be saying goodbye to a friend. My entire family will be there. And it's going to be a fitting celebration of someone's life. That's the way, you know, we need to look at it. But it's interesting because, you know, I've been on my own since Wednesday. Everybody left. I'm dog-sitting my son's dogs, German Shepherd and a Doodle. Interesting pair there. And an angry cat. And I say angry cat because he just – the type of cat it is that angry cat looking. The cat is actually as sweet as could be. I think it's like 18. So it, you know, kind of just shuffles around and wants its treats and wants to be left alone. But, it, you know, it's got that angry cat face. So we call it angry cat. I call it angry cat. I think I'm the only one who does. But, you know, it's kind of forced me in a different routine to where, you know, I have to go out and walk the dogs. You know, I have a lot of property, but none of it's fenced. And the Doodle could be off leash, but the German Shepherd likes about five people. It likes my son, his wife. Well, it's a conspiracy. So, you know, I'm dealing with the dogs and taking them out. And like I said, the German Shepherd likes about five people. Likes my son, his wife, my grandchild, myself, and my wife. Other than that, he won't let my daughters anywhere near anything. And, you know, we have to keep him away from strangers. So I don't want him running off, especially here in the country. You know, he sees a deer, he sees a rabbit. Something goes and he's going to be gone. So I have a long, like 30-foot retractable lead that he goes on. But last night, just after it was a little bit after sunset, there was still a little twilight, so there was still a little blue in the sky you could still see, but it was dark for the most part. You could see around, you know, that twilight stage. And I'm out walking the dogs just before, you know, we pack it in for the night. Yesterday, this was last night. And the fireflies were out like I've not seen in a very long time. I mean, it immediately brought me back to my childhood, to where I used to go to upstate New York and, you know, catch fireflies and even think about fireflies. And I thought about it because it actually stopped me in my tracks to appreciate the moment, the beauty, the serenity of it all. There were literally millions of them lighting up the grass. If I didn't need to be out with the dogs at that moment, I probably would have missed this because I probably would have been sitting in my family room watching TV buried in my phone. So the moral of that story is there is find your fireflies and don't miss the moment, because it literally stopped me in my tracks how beautiful it was. And I tried to capture the moment a little bit with a picture, and it doesn't do it justice. There were just millions lighting up the grass. And it stopped me. And all I kept thinking about is my grandson's going to be back in a few days. We could bring him out and catch fireflies with him or just show them what they are, you know, being 14 months, 15 months. So, you know, it just goes to show you that, you know, getting taken out of your routine, if it wasn't for watching the dogs, if it wasn't being forced to go outside at that moment, at that time, I would have missed this. And it was something special to see. So We have a lot to discuss today. We have a lot of things to talk about today. Today is the anniversary of the Granite Mountain Hotshots, that tragedy that happened out in Prescott, Arizona, where 19 of the hotshots were tragically killed on this day. They made a movie about it. I have the state representative that covers Prescott, Arizona, calling into the show today at 5 o'clock to discuss this anniversary, the memorial that's there, and this incident back in 2013, to pay homage to these heroes, especially with the reports that we got this weekend of that ambush sniper shooting that took two firemen's lives from what all accounts are a young person with psychiatric issues. His own family had an order of protection barring contact from his own family. So, and be careful what you see in the mainstream media. There's narratives trying to be twisted on both sides. By no doubt, with the history that's there, this individual stabbed a woman, was charged with felony assault, and it was pled down to a misdemeanor assault, and he got 180 days in prison, to where they gave him 150 days suspended sentence. So what did he spend, 30 days in prison for stabbing someone with a knife? So this is obviously a troubled individual who did not like authority, did not like the government, did not like firemen, did not like police. And come on, let's be honest, who doesn't like firemen, right? I can have a conversation if you don't like the police, and we can understand somewhat that. But, I mean, firemen, come on. We also have the Department of Justice today just announced they charged 324 people in the largest coordinated healthcare fraud in history. Individuals from Russia, Eastern Europe, and Pakistan were exploiting the American Medicare and stealing from U.S. taxpayers to the tune of $14 billion. That's right, $14 billion. 96 of those charged were licensed medical professionals. They set up bogus medical device companies to charge Medicare and defraud them. $14 billion. It's amazing what you find when waste, fraud, and mismanagement, when you start looking for it. And that was just announced today. Also today, County Commissioner Chris Chermak is going to be holding an event in up in Abington on the reassessment program. Informational. I mean, we got our bills. I got my bills. So we're going to bring in County Commissioner, Lackawanna County Commissioner Chris Chermak. Thanks for joining the show today, Commissioner.
Hey, Rob. Thanks for having me again. Thank you.
So you're having another informational meeting on the reassessment process up in Abington. Am I correct?
Correct. Yes. Tonight at doors open at 5:30. The it starts at 6 p.m. sharp. Again, this is informational. We have Attorney Anthony Loma is going to speak about residential, the process of appealing or whatever, anything you need to know about residential properties. I have Attorney Patrick Lavelle on commercial. And we have Conrad Bosley is going to talk about appraisals and getting your comparables and things like that. So it should be a good night. Anybody that has any questions, it's open to the public. Again, at Abington Heights High School on Noble Road in Clark Summit.
And there's a short window for this appeal process. It needs to be done by the end of August. Am I correct there?
Yeah, we got to get, it has to be done. I'm encouraging everybody that has any questions on their assessed values that they've received to definitely, apply for a hearing and, go through the appeal process. So tonight's helpful if anybody has any questions and the steps to do that.
Now, one of the things I saw and I've brought up on the show is to apply for a hearing as far as the reassessment went, it's online. What about our residents in Lackawanna County who maybe aren't online savvy, don't have computers, have flip phones and really don't want anything different? How do they go about doing this so we can get that out to the masses?
I'm going to bring some copies with me of the appeal forms, so I'll have some with me. You can stop by the county building on Wyoming Avenue and pick up the appeal forms. So they're there. And I guess if you could even call the assessor's office, they can mail them to you as well. So you can definitely get them.
Yeah, I've been having this conversation with a couple of my neighbors who are older and really not internet savvy and such like that. Since we have a county-supported library system, could it be possible to get those hard copies, those paper copies, delivered to each library system to where somebody can go into their public library and get one?
I don't see why not, but you could also print them off at the library as well. They could help you there at each library to get the copies, you know, right from the county website. So you can do it anyway.
All right. So even better.
Yeah. Yeah. So
where exactly is this meeting tonight?
So it's at Abington Heights High School on Noble Road in Clark Summit, in the auditorium, in the main front door. Again, the doors open at 5:30. The program starts at 6. It's free. There's no charge. All my attorneys and attorney Howard Rothenberg is going to moderate it. I'll be on the panel as well. They're all volunteers. You know, nobody's getting paid to do this. So, you know, it's just a team that I put together.
And again, this is an informational session. This is not to talk about the reassessment itself. That's already been done. And I received my reassessment, so the official notices have gone out. This is specifically about the process to appeal your reassessment numbers.
Correct. It's the steps to move forward. If you feel you need to appeal, it's going to be some good information there. You know, and I'm going to talk about some things that are offered to the residents here, such as Clean and Green and some of the veterans programs, things like that. But any questions that anybody has, there's going to be time for questions at the end of the program after the attorneys speak. So there's plenty of time for people to ask. And again, I encourage everybody to come. This is open to everybody from Lackawanna County. And, you know, I've been opposing this since it came about. You know, I voted no for this reassessment. I voted no for the tax increase last year. So, you know, I have a lot at stake here that I've been really fighting for the past 3 years. So, you know, I'm doing the best I can to inform the residents and, you know, to get the information out.
All right. Well, Chris, I appreciate you calling in today and letting us know about it. It's 5:30 up in Abington. I tell everybody that to go to as many of these meetings as you can, become informed, because you don't know. You know, do your research, get your comparables, and decide if you're going to go in and appeal this process, because that's why that process is there. I believe there's a $35 fee for an appeal.
$35 for residential, but it's well worth it, because once these numbers hit, and again, I'm not 100% on board with this reassessment. So, you know, I'm doing some things behind the scenes to maybe slow it up a little bit until we get these. There's a lot of incorrect information or a lot of incorrect numbers that are floating around out there, and I'm not happy about that. So, you know, but that's my fight on my side. But to get the information out, so get people informed and what they need to do, it's very important. And
there's specific timelines, there's specific deadlines, there's fees, yep. There's how the process works. So it's good to hear it and have people walk you through it at a meeting like this.
Yep.
Commissioner, I appreciate you reaching out to us today.
Thank you for everything there, Rob. I'll
Thank
see you.
You
soon.
Thank you.
All right.
The Goodfeet store, located right here in Scranton on the corner of Route 6 and Commerce Boulevard across from the Olive Garden, they're making it easier than ever to feel your best. Listen, summer's here, and we're doing a lot of things on our feet. Outside, yard work, running around with the grandkids, running around with the families. If you got a vacation planned, if you're going to one of those big theme parks, you are going to put the miles on. Even if you go to some of our local, you go to Knoebels, you go to Hershey, you're going to put the miles on. Why have to worry about how you're going to feel that night? How achy are you going to be? Are you going to regret that time with your friends and family at these parks or anything? Family barbecue, 4th of July weekends here. Head into the Goodfeet store, say goodbye to foot pain, and hello to personalized comfort. What I love about them is there's no waiting. The arch supports are immediately available, and you can experience the difference today with a free test walk. And what I love, the Goodfeet arch supports are proudly made here in the USA. So visit them at 1945 Commerce Boulevard in Scranton. Call at 570-534-0980. Check them out online at goodfeet.com. I've had them in my shoes for over 2 years now. Don't go anywhere without them in there. Goodfeet.com, because you're not going anywhere without Goodfeet. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. Before Commissioner Chermak was telling us about his event tonight, I wanted to get to that because it is 5:30 tonight. So I wanted to cut in and get that as quickly as we could when I saw him on the line. We were talking about the 324 people that have been charged in the largest coordinated health care fraud in history against Medicare. $14 billion in fraud detected. 96 of them being charged as licensed medical professionals. Individuals from Russia, Eastern Europe, and Pakistan were exploiting the American system. Waste, fraud, mismanagement, right? That's what we've been talking about. $14 billion is not a small sum of change. Here's the U.S. attorney during his press conference today.
This enforcement action involves the seizure of cash, as well as luxury vehicles and properties, returning real money to American taxpayers and to our government health care programs. As part of this takedown, we've identified and charged defendants operating from Russia, Eastern Europe, Pakistan, and other foreign countries. These individuals have infiltrated our healthcare system to steal American taxpayer dollars. As just one example, we dismantled a scheme involving a sophisticated operation run from Russia and Eastern Europe that strategically bought dozens of medical supply companies in the United States and submitted more than $10 billion in fraudulent healthcare claims to Medicare.
That's from Russia. $10 billion alone in a setup of fraudulent medical device companies. Just unbelievable what they find when they start digging and looking for it, don't you think? Something also that's been happening, if you've been paying attention to the debate now in the Senate on the Big Beautiful Bill, as it's being called. Well, the Democrats in the Senate, to delay, as a delay tactic, took 16 hours to read the entire 940-page bill. They read it out loud from the Senate floor. Just to show you how performative this is. How many other bills have you seen them do that with? How many last-minute continuing resolutions, thousands of pages stacked up 6 foot high? Remember the famous Affordable Care Act where Nancy Pelosi says we need to pass it to know what's in it? But because it's this bill, because it's coming from this administration, simply as a delay tactic, a stall tactic, which they're continuing to do now with as many amendments as they want. Each amendment is getting struck down from the Democrats. But it's interesting how they want to know what's in the bill and read it word for word. Took 16 hours through the night. And of course it's through the night. Regular, normal people aren't up paying attention to this. It's performative. It's just like the members that are popular now in the Democratic Party. AOC, Jasmine Crockett, this New York primary candidate for mayor in New York City. These are all privileged individuals who are cosplaying victims. We grew up down and out. We grew up poor. We're just a girl from Brooklyn. I'm just a guy from New York. We're a democratic socialist. We want to make sure everybody gets their fair share. Each and every one of them grew up with a silver spoon. And yes, even AOC. Her father was an engineer. Yes, her father passed away when she was young. The house they lived in sold for over $300,000. They were not poor. She went to a school that cost $250,000 to get a degree from. Now, most likely, she didn't have to pay that full boat because she was coming from a single family home after her father died, which is the case for a lot of people who go to colleges. She's just a girl from the Bronx. She lived in the Bronx for 5 years and moved back there simply to run for office. She was a girl from an affluent section of Yonkers. This socialist from New York City went to top schools, Columbia University, Jasmine Crockett, private institutions from kindergarten through college, costing tens of thousands of dollars a year. If you listen to any interview of her prior to becoming a member of Congress, very articulate, very well spoken. Now, what's with the accent? What's with the cursing? What's with the slang? They are cosplaying victimhood because it's an act, just like the performance that they did in the Senate floor overnight, reading a bill for 16. How come you don't read every bill then? How come we didn't sit and read every bill that the Democrats passed or the continuing resolutions that were tens of thousands of pages? But a 940-page bill coming from the Trump administration. Nope, we're going to read that out loud because we need to know exactly what's in it. I agree. We need to know exactly what's in it. What's funny, though, is while they were reading this bill out loud, the Democrats had to explain what the definition of what a woman really is and some other things, which are actually quite comical and will actually probably be used in some Republican campaign ads moving forward. But you have to ask yourself, what's the importance now to read the bill? And I'm all for reading the bill. They should be reading every bill. It's delay tactics and it's a performance. That's all it is. Bernie Sanders, AOC, Jasmine Crockett, the socialist from New York City running for mayor. They're all phonies and jokes that are trying to cosplay victimhood. That they come from a underprivileged background. None of them do. And all of them are pretty wealthy. It's 3:32 here at WILK. It's time for the news with Paul Michaels. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. It's 3:37, 88 degrees on this Monday, June 30th. So I get a text message from a texter, and get this. You know, we just talked about how they read the bill for 16 hours. It was all performative and such, right? Somebody says, no, it wasn't 16 hours. I watched it on C-SPAN 2. It was from 11:08 p.m. on Saturday to 3:03 a.m. on Sunday. It wasn't 16 hours. So I send them back the Associated Press article that says it was the headline of the Associated Press article. It took 16 hours to read Trump's 940-page foot-high bill aloud. Now the long debate begins. And in the story, it says, by Sunday mid-afternoon, some 16 hours later, the clerk's reading of the nearly foot-high bill was done. And I sent that back to the texter, who then blocked the text line. So it just goes to show you what kind of alternate reality these fools live in. And yes, you are a fool. You can call or text at 570-883-0098. Let's go to the phone. We have Joe from Edwardsville of the reading of the bill.
Yeah, Rob, I just wanted to talk to you real quick about the performative nature of what's going on around here. And I have a question. Now, Chuck Schumer called for the reading of the bill out loud, as quite frankly, technically is his right and whatnot. But my question is, and as you say, this took 16 flipping hours. Was everyone who called for the reading of the bill required to sit there and listen to it?
Well, you know that wasn't the case.
Watching it on C-SPAN, if they had panned around the Senate chamber, would there have been a bunch of empty seats?
All they did was hurt the voice of the clerk of the Senate. That's all they did. Wait, no one sat there for 16 hours.
He's getting paid, so hey, the heck with it. That's, you know, a part of, the, you know, one of the things that bothers me about that. And, it, you know, and otherwise on the performative nature of all of these people, I believe it was Jasmine Crockett in a House hearing getting into it with Marjorie Taylor Greene and says, okay, so I'm not supposed to say she's got a bleach blonde, bad built butch body. And it just this and you hear her and AOC coming up with this, oh, baby girl, don't even. Are you kidding me? Come on. You know, people complain that Trump cursed, when reporters were shouting questions at him about Israel and Iran. And but this is what's going on in the houses, in the House of houses of Congress, the Senate and the House chamber. And Who are you people? How do you even do these things with a straight face? Does your hypocrisy know no bounds?
No, they don't. And they're not held to account by the mainstream media anymore. And they do it and to say what they want and get away with it.
Absolutely. It drives me nuts. But I'm heading for the back door. So, this is going to be somebody else's problem to deal with. But I weep for them. And on that note, as we're going to miss you on Wednesday, but I know you got to go do what you got to do. And God bless you.
Yeah, thank you, my friend. It's been a trying time to understand it, but each day.
Exactly.
TBI is a bad thing. Simple as that. Simple as that. And it needs the attention that it's getting, not just for football, but for our combat veterans.
Oh, absolutely. And we all, you know, we spend our later life paying the price of mistakes we made or mistakes that were made on our behalf in our youth. And I guess that's just the human condition.
Yeah, people say scars later in life are cool, but the scars we can't see don't factor out like that.
Yeah. You know, when I was a young man, I used to think that too, that my scars were cool. Now I'm 62, and dear God, I wish I didn't have so many.
Yeah.
And the ones that we can't see, I try not to even think about them sometimes.
You know, he was a mentor to all three of my kids, and I waited till my daughter was done in the field Friday down in TBS at Quantico, and, you know, broke the news to her, and she basically said, you know, he's one of the reasons why I'm here.
I know, and I heard you talking about that, and I couldn't more heartily agree. What she's doing, she needs to be focused, and the time for grief is when you have time to do it.
Yep.
So
well, she turned it into a, you know, she has more motivation than ever to hike a little faster and carry a little more weight now. So you know, she turns it into something positive. That's a good thing.
We're Marines, brother. That's what we do. We improvise, we adapt, we overcome.
One of the best movies there is, my friend. Gunny Highway. All right, brother. Thanks for checking in today.
Nice talking to you, man. Well, on a sad day, but I'm sure I will talk to you again in the future.
Sounds good. Thank you. It's 3:43 here at WILK. We'll be back. It's funny. We were just having the conversation with our good friend Joe here, and I see a headline here. Chuck Schumer bolts after forcing aides to spend 16 hours reading the Big Beautiful Bill out loud. So, yeah, as soon as he made the suggestion that they read the bill out loud, he took off and was not seen in the Senate floor till after, 16 hours later. So there's a headline for that. At least someone's covering something, right? So the we all know that there's been an ongoing dispute or battle between the Fed chair, Jerome Powell, and the Trump administration. And most impartial experts say that the rates should have been lowered, and they haven't been. And you could look into that any way you want. If you want to take a political stance purely on the numbers that have been presented in the situation economically. Not the administration that's in power, not policies, not economically, the things that have come out in numbers that the rate should have been reduced. Well, Fed Chair Jerome Powell is accused of lying to Congress over a $2.5 billion Palace of Versailles headquarters revamp. That's what they're calling it. Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell is being accused of lying to Congress after he denied that $2.5 billion revamp of the central bank's Washington headquarters will load the facility with lavish amenities. And some are demanding that he be punished, the Post learned. Now, it'll be interesting to know who started this. Powell called the Post's exclusive report in April about the bloated renovation project, which led to Senator Tim Scott to liken it to the Palace of Versailles, issued a grilling by the Senate Banking Committee last week. Misleading and accurate. There's no VIP dining room. There's no new marble. There's no special elevators. Powell insisted under questioning of the powerful panel on Wednesday under oath. There are no new water features. There's no beehives and there's no roof terrace gardens. But Powell, who is meanwhile facing heat again from President Trump over the failure to slash interest rates, directly contradicted the project's own planning documents, which were signed off by a government pen pushers in 2021 and haven't been revised since. The private dining room on level 4 will be restored, reads one excerpt from the filing at the National Capital Planning Commission. The governor's private elevator will extend to discharge to the dining suite level. The documents also expressly mention vegetated roof terraces that will welcome urban wildlife and pollinators as well as new marble and water features. This is from the documents that were signed in 2021 for the building. Alan T. Levine, a professor of economics at Dartmouth College, who served as the economist and advisor for the Fed's board from 1992 to 2012, is the one making the complaint here, urging Congress to step in and punish Powell for lying to lawmakers. Somebody wasn't telling the truth, and the documents prove it. And one of his own is blowing the whistle. It's 3:50, time for the Bloomberg Money Minute. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. Monday, June 30th, last day of June, 88 degrees outside, 3:54. That was a nice cool break in the, from the heat wave we had. And temperatures are up there now, and it, you know, supposed to be nice. As we move in, weekend doesn't look bad at all. We have some you know, some iffy spots in the week, but you know that's what summer's about, so we'll deal with that. Hopefully you have plans for the 4th of July. Hopefully something's going on. I will have some of the family in, my grandson in, so that's always good, you know, coming up for the memorial service and such. But it'll be good to have them at home. For a little bit, and I'm tired of watching animals that aren't mine. It's a response. Listen, when you don't have, we've had dogs our entire life, and when you don't have them for a while, you kind of miss that freedom of having to deal with them. And you know, they're pleasant to have around. They've been no issues. It's just the, you know, you got to get up and get them out. You know, I wake up first thing. You know, I get my coffee and I start doing my show prep. Well, I got to wake up first thing, and before I even get my coffee, I'm out getting them out, because that's what you need to do, right? That's what you know, good family members do when they have furry pups. So it's been interesting, and I'm done when they get back. But another day or two. I think tomorrow night I'm off the hook. So, but speaking of the 4th of July, a couple of warnings and a couple of advisories. Local leaders are weighing in on beefing up illegal fireworks enforcement. Drones and social host ordnance are tools used in West Coast cities. Some municipalities here are looking at the very same thing. As illegal fireworks continue to confound local residents and firefighters around Independence Day, some wonder if local police and municipal officials can do more to beef up enforcement. Police departments across the U.S. have begun using drones equipped with high-definition night vision cameras as effective tools to spot and record fireworks scofflaws, especially in California, where frequent high winds, dry conditions, you know, we know the situation out there. So one of the things that when I was managing private communities, one of the things we did is I did some research, and, you know, I spoke to the board of directors, and they raised the fines to zero tolerance because, again, very wooded area, the Poconos, a lot of dry spells during this time of year. This time, you know, we have some moisture lately, but, you know, a couple weeks ago, that wasn't the case. And we raised the fines to there was an actual bite to the penalty. So where if you got caught, you were going to pay the price. So is it worth it? And we did a big PR campaign when everybody came into the community, guests and renters and everyone else, people who lived there knew the deal, to where they could not say they didn't know. They could not say they were unaware. They could not say, well, it was just a little fireworks. It really wasn't a big display. You know, they were given and had to sign off on the fireworks policy before they even got into the community. And, you know, if they ever tried to appeal the citation or appeal the fine, you know, we had that signed document. We had them on camera signing the document when they checked in. And it helped curtail a lot. Not everything, but it helped curtail a lot. So the other side of that is the danger. I'm not a big, and I've never been a big fireworks person. I like going to fireworks displays. I probably won't stick around for Scrantastic, even though it's a great fireworks display, because it's after my grandson's bedtime, and you know, we'll probably shoot out with him so we can get an early start the next day, running around the lawn or in the pool. But you know, the big professional displays that are done by professionals, that are done under oversight, great. As far as you know, even living and growing up in New York City, there were a couple people that went overboard and nuts with fireworks. And I can tell you that every time someone was injured, every time someone either they're in a crowd or the person themselves was injured, some of them very severely. I've seen this with my own hands. Working in New York City as a police officer, multiple times, seen it with my own hands. Seen it with my own eyes, you know, dealt with it with my own hands because we had to respond to these calls. And even here, last year I talked about the same thing, you know, the dangers of fireworks, even legally bought fireworks at the stores. And every year in the 2 years I've been here, this will be my third 4th of July. Afterwards, there are reports on come next Monday or Tuesday, there will be reports of injuries due to fireworks. I don't want to read those reports. I don't want those reports to exist. So go. There are enough professional displays around to where you can go and bring your family to see something professional where you're not in harm's way. Leave it at that. Leave it at that. And then you add the partaking in drinks and barbecues and everything else. It's just a bad mix. So be safe this year. It's 4 o'clock.